next speaker is Joyce Fisher, who's been the project manager for the Mountain States Genetics Regional Collaborative since 2004. Prior to that position, she was the genetics coordinator for the Mountain States Genetics Network, and she's also been the Colorado State Genetics Coordinator. She graduated from Towson University in 1972 and has served on several national, state, and local boards and advisory committees. She's going to talk to us today about two different projects that they've been working on, one related to newborn screening and the other related to the Navajo population.
Well, welcome everyone to Denver, the Mile High City. And whatever you do, keep drinking water. You need that to survive here, because even when it rains or snows, it's still very, very dry. We don't have a lot of humidity. Mainly, we don't have humidity. I want to introduce you today to the Mountain States Genetics Regional Collaborative Center. I know that's a mouthful, so I'll probably just say Mountain States or Regional Collaborative from now on. Unfortunately, I don't have any royalties to disclose or anything. I've been in so many where they do, and now I'm becoming a little sensitive to that. The Mountain States Regional Genetics Collaborative Center is one of seven that covers the U.S., and we are federally funded by the Department of Health and Human Services, the Health Resources and Services Administration, which is fondly known as HRSA, and the Genetic Services Branch. If in looking at this picture, you will see that all of the regions that cover the U.S., and we are the purple one, and we go from Canada all the way down to Mexico. And it's an extremely large region with eight states. We cover about one-third of the U.S. Our population is about 15%, and we have an annual birth rate of about 600,000. And that's 3 to 5% of these births are complicated by a genetic condition. So consequently, we'd have as many as 18,000 infants and their families in this region that will require genetic services each year. The regional collaborative is here to maximize the use of our relatively scarce resources. We have are lucky to have a high Hispanic population, and we have a higher percentage of Native Americans than the overall U.S. The next slide is very interesting, we think, because this shows frontier counties, and health systems are the only ones that use frontier as a designation. But as you can see, we consist of a lot of the frontier counties. And the formula for that is a rather complicated one. As you can see, zip code areas whose calculated population centers are more than 60 minutes or 60 miles, and I love this, along the fastest paved road trip to a short-term non-federal general hospital of 75 beds or more, and are not part of a large rural town with a concentration of over 20,000 population. I'm glad I'm not the person that has to figure that out. But just to suffice it to say, we do have a lot of very, very rural areas out here. Today we're going to we look at genetic the wide range of genetic services, but today we're going to focus on newborn screening when I talk about our two projects. And just to give you a little sense of the makeup, we have four states that have at least one state lab performing newborn screening tests. But we have four states that contract with an out-of-state lab for newborn screening. And Nan's familiar with that because it's Oregon is the state lab. Colorado screens for Wyoming. Six states have a single major program offering or coordinating genetic services, a major medical center. And one state is served exclusively by out-of-state geneticists, and that's Wyoming. And when we say six states have a single major program, that excludes Texas, because Texas has seven. And so our other states only may have one. We have two major goals that I'd like to share with you. And the first is we like to capitalize on our strengths to serve this very large, diverse, and dispersed population. And then our second goal is to improve access to genetic services for individuals that are affected with hereditary disorders. The strategies that we use are to facilitate communication and information between our stakeholders, and we leverage our base funding to bring additional resources into the region. And we're particularly proud that we've been able to do that. And we've been able to pull in supplemental funding for projects. We've been able to get additional CDC funding for what our meager funding started. We partner with the Genetic Alliance on two of their projects. So the leveraging is very important for sustainability. We recruit active members and we listen to them, collaborate with other regions and federal agencies, all to bring good ideas home. We have currently nine funded projects, and I'm going to talk about the first two that are in red. And all of these, there's a synopsis of each one on our website, and that's at the end, our address is at the end. Metabolic long-term newborn screening long-term follow-up study. In 2006, only about half of the states and territorial newborn screening programs in the United States conducted long-term follow-up. Of those states, only about half of them had a standard protocol in place, and there was a great variation in how long-term follow-up was conducted. Nonetheless, it was realized that the full benefits of newborn screening require a framework for long-term follow-up. And that's particularly as the program is being expanded to include more and more disorders. There are several challenges in collecting long-term data for these very rare disorders. First, the rarity of the conditions makes single-center studies impossible, since it would take many years for a center to collect enough cases for a statistical significant outcome. Therefore, collaborative studies are a real necessity in this area of the world and often introduce additional variables. Second, the natural history of many disorders is not completely understood. New late complications may develop in older patients that have yet to be described. Newborn screening also identifies a new subset of patients with possible milder, more benign forms of some of the disorders, which previously went completely undetected. And that's indicating a need for genotype-phenotype correlations. And lastly, there's controversy that exists on whether some of the disorders even cause clinical disease. Our project lead for this is Dr. Janet Thomas, who is the MD for Children's Hospital in Aurora, Colorado. And I'd like to add here that when I was talking about the rural counties, or the frontier counties, sorry, that Janet serves three of our states. She is the only metabolic geneticist for Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. So that puts us in a little bit of a predicament, because if Janet got sick or if anything happened to her, it really affects a lot of area. The primary objective of the metabolic long-term follow-up study was to develop a long-term follow-up program over a sufficiently large population in a suitably homogeneous manner that allowed the systematic analysis of factors that affect long-term outcome of all patients with inborn errors of metabolism that were identified through newborn screening. To provide for a sufficient number of patients, a multi-state collaborative consortium was organized. Homogeneity of data was achieved through the development of minimal data specific, disease-specific care plans and shared data sets, and they focused on disease characteristics, including genotype, treatment criteria, and common measurable long-term outcome parameters. The data sets also include objective measures of neurocognitive and functional outcome. And that's more unique to this program than what you usually see in a long-term follow-up. Okay. I'm going to, what did that say? Oh, okay. I'm going to skip over then to our other project, because I think you'll find this one extremely interesting. This was is called Community Conversations on Genetics, and the intent was to improve access to diverse populations, and so we focused on the First Nation tribes. And the Navajo are one of the largest Native American populations and have withstood many challenges to their beliefs and culture. There are a number of genetic disorders occurring with increased frequency among the Navajo. And the Navajo represent a unique population that stands to benefit from modern genetics. However, genetics remains a very controversial subject among the Navajo. Currently, most American Indian governments have instituted a moratorium on genetic studies. The controversy over genetics among the Native Americans has complex roots. And these include the Human Diversity Project that suggested that many tribes were on the way to extinction, misuse of Havasupai DNA samples for purposes not explicitly approved by the tribe, leading to perceived social harm, lack of direct benefit to the community, exemplified by the years of diabetes research among the Pima people during the which diabetes rates skyrocketed, a demonstrable lack of access to research results, a lack of partnership, and rewards to researchers not shared by the subjects. And, you know, this is not history I'm sharing with you. This is happening right now. There was a court case with the University of Arizona that the Havasupai won because their DNA was used that had been collected many years prior, and then they weren't asked if it could be used for again, in a way that was deleterious to their culture. The lead on this project is Dr. Murray Brilliant, and he was with the University of Arizona in Tucson when we started this project back 4 years ago. He's now in Wisconsin. And we focused on the First Nation tribes in the Four Corners region. And if you can picture the United States, and the Four Corners are Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado. Excuse me. And as I mentioned, they do have a moratorium. Our project was to seek dialogue on genetics and newborn screening with the Native American people. And we had our first conversation in Shiprock, New Mexico, in 2009. And this is where listening comes into play. We used this to develop and implement a mechanism for dialogue to promote understanding of principles of genetics and newborn screening among the tribal members. The outcome was great. We had a good showing. 70% of the respondents said they learned something new during this, and 4 out of 5 said that they saw value in genetics in newborn. But looking at this, what happened was we had the elders who are promoting the moratorium on genetics, and then you have the families who are the ones with the child that has been affected by a genetic disorder. The elders do not want the genetic studies, the families do. So it was very split, and so I'm sure that 4 out of 5 are families. We have future plans to hold some more of the genetics, the community conversations, and we're going to do that with the Hopi and the Navajo, the Pueblo, and the Sunai. And we'll analyze the data that we get back from that. And then I just want to acknowledge again our funding agency. And this is our website, and you can find a lot more information about both of the projects on that website. And I also want to thank Liza Creel for putting my PowerPoint together that I have not learned to do yet and don't intend to.
To expand your program like the community conversations to the Hispanic Latino community or any other platform in community outreach or education?
Not with this particular one. Because of our funding, we only have enough to really work with the Navajo and the Hopi on this. But we have another project, a hemoglobinopathies project that is looking at trade in the Hispanic community for sickle cell disease. We have a high number of sickle cell trait being identified in the Hispanic community, but they're not seeing it as their disease. It's a black disorder is the way they look at it, and we are trying to say, no, it's not African American, it's every Colorado. We've identified even Caucasians with sickle cell.
I have one question also for you, Joyce. Do the elders have specific concerns? I mean, I understand that a lot of the history revolves around genetics research, but newborn screening, it sounds like the families are advocating for, you know, use of genetic services. In the kind of the minds of the elders, are those sort of the same thing?
Or? That's a great question, too. One of the reasons we wanted to start our community conversations is that newborn screening, which they do they actually send their specimens to the Colorado Newborn Screening Lab, but newborn screening is more and more going to DNA for diagnostics. And when you move from that simple blood test, heel stick, to DNA, that's when you get into what they call genetic studies.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure that at this juncture, there are no surprises. And we want them to continue to support the newborn screening.
Sure, sure.
Okay, great, thanks.